Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show.
Woo! I don't know why we're doing this, but it's fine.
I know. I heard it doing it. Everyone just put on.
Hi, guys. Bing is for doing, and welcome to another after show for the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Of course, I have to introduce my fantastic and beautiful panel of co-hosts. I'm going to start out with this one.
Oh, this one. Hey, guys, I'm Susan Hahn. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Susan Hahn.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay. I have a feeling I'm going to laugh a lot during this one. I'm Adrienne Vero. You can follow me at Adrienne_Vero.
She's got a regal updo, so she's just going to let it all hang out.
Regal.
Hey, guys. It's Giselle. You can find me on Twitter at... You can find me on Twitter at Giselle Ugarte. GISELLEUGARTE.
And I love the spelling. You guys both spell. And I'm Deanna Vaughn. Nice. And you can follow me on Twitter at GoToGirlTV.
Number two.
And you can also check me out on my website at www.GoToGirlTV.com. And I just want to welcome Adrienne back. We really missed you last week.
Thanks.
I was here all by myself.
And you guys, special announcement.
What?
We've been speculating for a little while
which direction
Rosie sways. It's official.
She likes to scissor kiss.
I mean, come on. Well, before we get started.
For Susan, she's available.
Yes. She likes glazed donuts and she likes to scissor kick.
Oh. Oh, my God. Anyway, I have to give a shout-out to all of our fans for iTunes. Please log into iTunes, rate us, make comments, tell
your friends, subscribe,
because it's so important, and we really value your feedback, and we love
and
when you do it.
I really think the iTunes thing is so big for so many reasons. It's also like, you know, you guys watch the show, rush over here to the studio, and there's things that these people, they find out on iTunes, and they give us news, gossip, the whole deal. So,
Absolutely.
I mean, we really like our iTunes people. They help out AfterBuzz a lot. So it's nice to say thank
people.
You, you know?
Thank you. Big thank you to you guys.
So on to the show. And I'm sure you guys are all familiar with that character from, what's that show? Friends? Janice?
Yes.
All right. This episode makes me have a Janice line. Oh my God. This episode was off the chain. I mean,
it was juicy.
It was juicy like Joe. And I hate even using that reference. But first, we got to get started with the big fight. Teresa and Joe in the car. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, what do you guys think about that?
There were bleeps all over the place.
Every other word. I mean, I cannot believe.
He's like, I'm going to leave you. I mean, he hates her family. He's like, you know, they're not welcome. I mean, but he was like, you know, the kids can play together, but your brother molests, they're not, you know, they're not welcome to the house. and he was like, shut up, or whatever, however yeah. he talked to her.
He sat there and told her, shut the F up and listen to me. I'm like, are you kidding
yeah.
me?
But I love Teresa's excuses for it, too. She just, like, takes it all in. She said, that's why you shouldn't tell your husband everything. That was one. Yeah. Another one, well, he's a Gemini.
I hate and when people do that.
Another one is, that's not what he means. He just babbles.
Okay, I cannot stand when people use astrological signs as an excuse
for
like,
people's insanity.
To explain bad behavior.
It's not because he's a Gemini. It's because he's immature and cannot interact well with others.
Wait, like, how does that even work? What did they do?
He just, the way he speaks to his wife, so super disrespectful.
It was disrespectful. Ronnie, it was just disgusting. It was ugly.
And, I mean, and so you could be a bad person because you're a Virgo. Like, that's crazy.
Right, exactly. I'm just jealous because I'm a Scorpio. Like, what?
People don't like at first Scorpios. Because I'm a Gemini. Like, no. There's clearly something that you're doing wrong. And I hate, like, I don't care if it is a friend, if it is your boyfriend, if it is your father, if it is your whatever. You do not talk to anybody, let alone a woman like that. No. And it's completely unacceptable.
But you know what? People are going to get away with what you let them get away with. And, you know, she lets them talk to him like that.
So and like father, like daughter, apparently.
Well, I mean, I feel like this man has 5 women in his life. He's got his wife and he's got his 4 daughters. And to speak to her in such a disrespectful manner on camera, because that makes me think, well, what's going on when the cameras are off?
Well, can I ask you something? Because you're Italian, and I lived in New York for about 6 years, and it's just, and I've come across a lot of, you know, New Yorkers. We're just
New Yorkers are not all like that.
But a lot of New Yorkers are aggressive, and they just say what it, you know,
they just say it like it is.
Yeah, they say it, and they don't sugarcoat things for people, And I'm not condoning how he spoke to his wife and what he said. And yes, he did drop an F-bomb on her. But
couple.
I drop F-bombs at church sometimes because that's just my language. You know what I mean?
I also think, I think in terms of the whole, like, you know, the way they talk
Italians
to each other.
Are passionate.
You guys see how the women are and how, you know, they are very strong women, but the men in the Italian culture still have that upper hand. Like, they have the power, but the women respect their man and will do anything for their man. They're very loyal. But the women are also strong in their own ways, especially amongst each other, as you see.
Right.
But when it comes to the man, Joe, especially, like you said, house of 5 women, he's going to have that control and he's going to make it very known. And he does.
So see, is it kind of normal?
Obviously, I don't think across the board you can say it's normal, right. But I think that a lot of times I have seen that, especially even within my own family. Mm-hmm. I see that. And also the women know how to deal with it.
Right.
They really do. And like, we look at it and we're like, oh my gosh, but
that's traditional Italian kind of family. And like, I mean, Teresa says she never used a tampon until after she got married.
I know.
Because that wasn't allowed in the house.
I know.
See, I think traditional family, you know what I mean? Like, granted, I'm Mexican, it's a little bit different, like cultural lines, whatever, but like, you know, with men, you do respect their authority. They're the head of the household. At the same time, it's like that line in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. The woman is still the neck. She can turn the head whichever way that she wants. And I expected that with how aggressive Teresa is with the women, that she would at least have some sort of control over her husband. And it's not so much, like, necessarily the words that he used. Mm-hmm. It's the targets that he used. You know, he talked about her. He talked about the kids. Her whole family leaving me. You know, I've always seen in certain situations, granted, I've never been married before. I'm still a, you know, professional housewife in training. But
aren't you going to marry one of the sons?
I'll
isn't
be.
That?
One day. We're not in a rush. But, you know,
it's going to happen.
I always, you know, generalize that if you start using divorce as a threat, you're going to get one. So if he's saying, you know, he's going to leave her or she's going to leave him, like,
I agree.
I just see it happening.
I think it was disgusting. And interestingly enough, I'm a big Wendy Williams fan.
I was going to bring her up.
Did you watch it?
That's the thing. I love Teresa when she's on Celebrity Apprentice and Wendy Williams.
Well, here's the deal. Well, did you watch? Basically, Kathy Wakili and Melissa Gorga were on Wendy Williams this week. And Teresa was on
a
separate episode.
Oh, okay.
And Melissa basically was talking about how, and she's been talking about in a lot of like blogs and, you know, gossip type stuff about how disgusted she was by hearing Joe's words. And I have to agree with her. Yeah. They were absolutely disgusting. Basically, he said he would leave her. He would kick her family out of the house. Mm-hmm. He would kick her brother out of the house. It's like, where does it end?
And this is Melissa saying this? Oh, yeah. News. I mean, okay,
I know you're not a fan, but just, I was really like just taken aback and disgusted. Yeah.
I don't think it's anything new though. I think that he's always talked to her like
not.
That.
It's
so I think
not.
She like is used to it. And like, I honestly see it. Like, anyone in my family can vouch for it, but my papa does talk to my grandma like that too.
Yeah.
And like, but my grandmother still has the upper hand. And like, at the end of the day, like,
Of course.
Okay. Like, it goes the in man one ear or the other. Exactly. Not that it condones it, but it's almost like, Teresa, that's what she's used to, and that's what she's going to just...
I mean, because that happens in my family. Yeah. Like, we're old school, and that's how, you know, that's well, how the men have the upper hand.
I have a question for you. Do you think the fact that the role, the traditional roles of man and woman have been reversed? Because right now, Teresa's the breadwinner. Joe is staying home with the kids. Do you think that the role reversal has caused him to, like, get a little angry?
Oh, I definitely think that. Yeah.
You know, because his wife is out, you know, she's bringing in the money. He's not.
Right.
You know? He's up for...
And that's why he's still like, listen, I have control of this house, no matter what happens. That's what his message is, too.
If he's locked up in Rikers Island, he's not going to have control over anything, you know, except for his pants.
I think that, I will say, I think that the scene selection for this was quite strategic, because for a while, we've been so anti-Teresa for this first couple episodes, and I think for the first time, I kind of started to hop back on the team Teresa.
Yeah, because you felt sorry for her.
At the end, you know, it was a little shaky, but for the beginning, the different scenes that they chose to pick, whether it was in the car with her husband or then, you know,
with Gia.
Later on, we'll move on and talk about it with Gia. I definitely, you know, started to hop back on that, you know.
Well, I've always been Team Teresa. You guys know that.
Yeah, I've been in the middle. I've been in the middle. Like, I didn't like how she treated everybody, and we can dig a little bit more into that. You know, her apologies, and, you know, when she was on Wendy Williams, she explained a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just kind of all over the place. So I'm kind of in the middle with her. So. But basically, I think the end of the story is that Joe is an asshole.
I know. And you see it.
I mean, what?
A what? Melania repeats everything. Every single thing that Joe has said, Melania, you hear it. Like, idiot, stupid, everything. Like, she has the melt on her.
I know.
Well, the way he says it, shut up.
That brings us to the next big topic of this episode, which is Gia.
Well, can we talk about Gia's bra shopping? I think that was the cutest thing
that
ever.
That was really sweet.
Poor girl's never going to have boobs either, and she's going to keep on wishing for them.
Yeah, I mean, her mama had to get a boob job. Mama didn't have
Gia called her mom out on it. Yours didn't even grow in until you were like 23, and then you had to get implants.
I think she said mom in that little segment probably like 20 times. Mom!
Like, she kept saying,
Wait, the little girl knows about implants? How old is she?
She's 10. She's 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
But I think we can all agree that she's been exposed to a little bit too much based off of being on this show, no?
I don't necessarily. Here's the thing, though, is that at this point, Gia knows how to access what she wants to access. It doesn't matter whether they expose her or not, because I know that at her age, I had older brothers, and I would dig through stuff. I would listen in on the door. Like, it wasn't so much what I was being exposed to. It's what I was curious about. And she's very curious.
Well, the problem with Gia, she's doing bra shopping the traditional way, and that just needs to stop. What she needs to do is go through AfterBuzz, click the Amazon affiliate program, and that is... you know, even today, we just did this new thing where, you know, we have a little link to the bra section. So, Gia, you just really got to watch our after show. Diana, Susan.
Ronnie.
You know what, Gia, what you need to do, and all of our AfterBuzz fans, yes, if you need a bra or if you need
tampons.
If you need tampons. Basically, what we're asking you to do, instead of going directly to Amazon.com, we want you to come to AfterBuzzTV.com and click on the Amazon affiliate banner, and you make your purchases that way. And what happens is we get lots of little kickbacks, which helps us here at the AfterBuzz Studios. It keeps the lights on. Keeps us looking fabulous. Keeps Ronnie here. So that's what we're asking you to do. So thank you, AfterBuzz fans.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Shameless little
Nice plug. Nice plug. Love it. All right. So back to Gia. Now, is it just me? Because I think for a 10-year-old, that girl is really fresh.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she's just talking a little too much, because I know if you were in a black family, you could not get away with saying stuff like that. Like, you'd get, like, a little slap in the mouth, or you would just know your place as a child, and you would not say those things.
Right, but she's not really told otherwise. I mean, Joe's
the
one saying
problem.
It. It is, of course. Yeah, it definitely is. Joe doesn't say anything different. If anything, Joe is endorsing it, because he says it all the time. Mm-hmm. Teresa, we saw at the end, she kind of doesn't really step in and say your behavior's out of line. Or,
well, the thing is, though, she's 10 years old. And she's emotional. She's 10. And Kathy put it very, she said it brilliantly. She's like, she knows what's going on, but she doesn't understand why it's going on.
Right.
And at that age, you can't articulate everything that you want. She had mentioned when Jacqueline was reading the book, she was like, you know, you said those things and it was everything that I did. She was embarrassed. You know, she was being reprimanded in front of cameras, in front of Caroline, in front of that little boy. I think that's Jacqueline's son.
CJ?
Was that CJ?
No, CJ's little. I think that was Joe. Yeah. Was Little Joe.
At the same time, she's a 10-year-old girl. Like, I mean, I didn't have a problem with Jacqueline and Caroline reprimanding her because they were adults and she's the child.
I understand that, but they should have taken her aside one-on-one, but they were kind of egging each other on her.
But that's what happens when you're a kid. Sometimes you get embarrassed. You're 10. You don't have any expectation you know?
And I understand that, but up until now, Gia has been, you know, she's been a doll. And she's gonna have a breakdown. She's 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you should never disrespect your elders and she shouldn't be. But, you know, she did say, she was just in the corner by herself and she did ask for her mom. And Jacqueline tried to, you know, somehow fix it her way. Caroline's trying to fix it her way. And she just wants her mom.
Well, sometimes I wonder, okay, two things. Sometimes I wonder if the reason why Teresa doesn't call Gia out on what she says is because I kind of wonder if she's thinking that Gia is saying the things that she's too afraid to say. Number one, because she is observant.
That's a good one,
you know,
Giselle.
For example, you know, the things that she brings up about Uncle Joe or about the way that her dad, you know, was in the tabloids cheating, you know, that's probably something that Teresa wouldn't want to bring up to her husband, but she's not going to, you know, shield her daughter from it because maybe it is something that she really wants to talk about with Joe, but she doesn't want to bring it up because you don't bring everything up with your husband. And then second, you know, I have to say that I can understand why she's embarrassed. There are cameras around, but they can't run from the cameras once they're there. And I think it kind of reminds me of, you know, let's say you're babysitting someone's kid and they want to call up their mom. Well, you want to try to fix the situation first before you decide to disturb the mom at the party or, you know, having fun. Because for once, Teresa's having fun. She, before the end of the party, said that she was going to try to have a little escape space away from Joe. Right. So why would you try to bring, you know, more drama into that?
Well, you know, let's back up for a second. So let's talk about the whole field day and why Gia even got to this point. So field day is supposed to be a big fun day. All the families come together, the red and the blue. You got black under the eyes. We would have done that for you guys, but it would have messed up our makeup.
Commercial break.
So, yeah, let's back it up for the field day. So Gia was very sensitive, you know, like they were playing all the games and she started accusing, you know, her Uncle Joe of cheating. Now, I get it. At that age, I have a 12-year-old niece and she's the same way. She goes to Catholic school. She's very holy, you know, so I get it, her being sensitive. But that's what got her to the timeout, so to say, like with Caroline and Jacqueline. Like, what did you think that her behavior was all right, you know, during the field day, or what did you guys feel about that?
I think it was fine. I think she was taking it out on her Uncle Joey. It was directed to him, and that's her immediate family. And, you know, it wasn't fair. And you know, she's 10 years old. She's 10 years old. It's like, for us, it's like, we can laugh it off. But at 10 years old, it's something that you talk about with your friends. Like, oh, we had this game with our family, and we won, or... That's what they talk about. These are, like, kids. This is what they live for. Yeah.
But I also think that, like, whether you're 10 years old, 2 years old, 3 years old, a tantrum is a tantrum.
Right.
And to me, that was a tantrum. That was out of line. She's 10 years old, so she's going to get emotional. But, like, that's when Teresa says, okay, you need to step aside and catch your breath and do whatever. Whereas she was going on and on. That's a tantrum, as far as I'm concerned.
She's
stomping your leg and yelling. And that's just embarrassing.
Screaming.
And how many... Does anybody, parents, let them have a tantrum? Because when I started, stopped.
And not at 10 years old.
And not in public.
Old, that's a little old for a tantrum.
I mean, right? Like,
you
whether you're 10, 12, 13.
You expect that from a 4, 5, or 6-year-old. But a 10-year-old, you expect a little bit more, you know, decorum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so understandably so, she could get upset. I think we all can agree on that. Yeah. But then, like, how you deal with it, I mean, that was awkward. Everyone was trying to, like,
help.
Step in, and then that got out of hand, too, because it's like, Jacqueline and Caroline, I would have just been like, peace out. Like,
I don't think they realized what a big deal it was. You know,
at first,
I think she's, like, getting upset, you know, okay, it's done, it's over with, she goes inside. But then it was like, you know, she just
kept going.
And I'm not, you know, sorry, well... I kind of am, because as we've all been 10-year-old little girls, and sometimes you just want to be left the F alone.
Yeah.
Honestly. And you really don't need to be read a book right now. Like, I'm pissed off.
That was
get out of my face.
But
you know?
She's 10, and I think at that age, you don't get the opportunity to be like, get out, you know, don't bother me. You don't get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand.
Especially
with cameras around.
No, you don't. You need to be respectful.
I thought it was kind of funny. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Jacqueline wore her no hate shirt, which I know is, you know, for equal love, equal rights. But I thought, you know, she wore the no hate, and then Caroline wore her little evil eye shield necklace as well. Then sure enough, they're circled right in the mix of drama.
Are we talking about outfits yet? Can we talk about Melissa's shorts?
You mean
her thong or
lack thereof?
her Daisy Duke / Coochie Cutters? Like, what the hell?
I mean, by the way, Teresa wins for a best butt contest.
Yeah, we'll she talk does. About that for a nice second. Ass. Yeah, I was really impressed. She was looking real good.
Yeah. Well, now, she was wearing real Daisy Dukes, and those look nice.
Now, before I rip Melissa's ass apart, I just want to say she does
literally,
look,
no pun intended, pun intended.
I have to say she has an amazing body. She's had 3 kids. Bravo. But you know what? You're at a family function. You better cover that shit up. I'm wow. sorry. That is not okay. That is not okay.
I understand, right?
And you know what? Talk about attention. If you're going to bend down and get something, why don't you squat like a lady instead of sticking your ass out like a stripper that you were, okay? Okay? I'm just saying. Oh my God, because no, I she needs to keep it real. She's like, oh, trying to get toys, and her ass is
can
like.
Can we get some cheering, Ronnie? I think we need like,
Ronnie,
some play.
I would love saying, to hear I'm just some saying. Male feedback back there. What do you think, Ronnie? What do you think is appropriate at a family function?
No, her that was completely inappropriate.
What was the question? Family function. Yes,
Melissa was at a family function and she was wearing some coochie cutter Daisy Duke shorts, too short. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, she was a stripper, so they all know her history, her past. It is a reality show. This is not your normal get together family thing. I mean, I think it's tolerable and okay. And Melissa's
and
got a great body.
She jumps on the trampoline. She jumps on the trampoline and the Daisy Duke.
She's making
flip.
Great
like,
TV. She used to be a stripper. They're all making money.
You can take the stripper out the club, but I'm just
you
saying.
Can't make
I mean, she wants attention. It's like, I understand you. And the thing is, I love how someone was like, oh, she's a pop star. She is not a pop star. She had one song that made it on iTunes or whatnot, but
actually,
oh yeah, you're not a pop star if you have a reality show and you just put out one song on iTunes. That does not make you a pop star. I will agree with you.
It makes you a one-hit wonder.
Not even that. That's way too much credit.
You're being
right
too
there.
Kind okay. on that one.
Man, I don't even hate on Melissa usually, but I have to say those shorts were ridiculous. But also, Teresa's one that said, oh my God, did you see her? You know,
did she
but
put a Melania
wearing shorts too.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even wear that.
But
my
they
own
looked
family
good.
Of
but
course, she looked really good.
Hers were shorts. There were cutoffs.
Couldn't see the bottom of the butt.
Melissa's was like boy shorts. They're boy shorts, you know?
I have to say, you know, like, we talk about sometimes how these housewives really don't have a lot of fashion sense or, like, they're not really dressing for their age. And I think it's kind of funny because I feel like Melissa's style is getting worse and Teresa's is getting better.
Hell to the north!
I love that.
No, that's
and like I'm like, you know, lately I've kind of been Team Melissa lately, but Teresa's been dressing like fairly sophisticated. Mm-hmm. She sticks to her guns. I know she likes the sparkle and the sequins or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, when she went bra shopping, she had a really cute.
I like that.
Yes. I like that.
Well, think about it. She's on The Apprentice now. Mm-hmm. She's
but it doesn't
a lot more
matter.
Press.
She got Trump check, honey.
Because you know, a lot of the
she probably got a stylist.
I mean, no, right. But the Real Housewives of like Orange County, for example, they're like Cheetah. They always look like they're going to high school prom and they're like
they look
you
like
know,
they
10
shop
years
at
older.
Forever 21.
No, like no, don't not
forever
even
21.
You can find cute things in any of those stores and they still manage to find like the cheapest looking
that's
thing.
True.
And like just because it either has a label or because it has an expensive price tag or some bling on it does not make it fashionable, ladies.
Yes,
like
yeah. I agree what? With you, Giselle. Woo!
Melissa.
Like Melissa can afford a studio in her basement, but she cannot afford to cover up those cheeks. I do not understand.
Woo! Well, I think this is the perfect time to hit a commercial, so we can kind of, you know, get our thoughts together and talk about more stuff.
Maybe get my paint on.
Yeah, maybe get our paint on. So we're gonna
get my wild on.
Right we're
on.
Gonna get a go to a commercial right now.
Cool. All
right,
guys.
What's happening? We are the America's Best Dance Crew ABDC After Show coming to you guys. We watch the show every week just like you, and we go every Friday to the set to interview and talk to the crews behind the scenes and let you know what is happening behind the scenes.
Hey everybody, we are AfterBuzz Mob Wives Edition, the only Mob Wives After Show out there. I'm your host, Adrienne Vera, with my lovely co-host,
Kevin Undergaro,
Grant Rutter.
Cameron Marston.
You guys can check us out every week. We have a lot of fun. We drink wine. We talk about the show. So check us out. We're also doing the Big Ann Show. So tune into that and Mob Wives Chicago.
Hey guys, what's happening? We are the Game of Thrones AfterBuzz crew. I'm Dave Klein.
Bethany Jaber.
Kristen Elizabeth Snyder.
Simone Boyce.
And we come to you every single week live Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time for We Are Kings of the Game of Thrones After Show. And we have one thing to say. Oh, shadow baby. Oh, shadow baby. Oh, shadow baby.
After Buzz TV, what do you want to buzz about?
Bye, boo.
Hey, so we are back.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, callers.
Okay. All right. Do we have any callers?
Do we have a caller?
Do we have any callers? Buzz.
I'm getting tweets that people are trying to call in.
We are being very selective with our thousands of phone calls. I'll let you guys know. But okay. First, before we do that, Deanna, did you want to tell us about Gamefly? Or?
Actually, yeah. You know what, Ronnie? Can you tell all the fans about Gamefly?
Oh, about Gamefly. Yeah. Yes, it is so super simple. I was actually telling Spicy Mari about this. I was like, Mari, I was like, you know, Gamefly is so cool. And she's telling me what or how. And I'm like, look it. You want to get a 15-day free trial, all you got to do is go on Gamefly.com/AfterBuzzTV. And she went to go buy a bunch of video games for her Wii, for her PlayStation, and
Dance
all that
Dance
good
Revolution.
Stuff. Right, Mari?
Wow. So wait. Do we think like the old school video games are on Gamefly, like Centipede, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga? Because that's like
go to Gamefly.com and get all your info. 15-day free trial. Yes, indeed,
love
Deanna, we got your back on that.
Okay?
Yeah.
Love it, cool. Love it. Yeah. All right, so back to the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Y'all. I liked how Lauren was trying to kind of be Caroline at the party.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about Lauren. Perfect, Giselle. Lauren is still on this quest to lose weight. And what my fear is for her is that, like, this has been her obsession, like, since the season started. She wants to be skinny. She wants to lose weight. She thinks it's going to change her life. And I feel like she's got the wrong mindset when it comes to losing weight. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. I mean, we've touched on this before. You need to love yourself first and foremost. And I understand that you can feel a bit more confident with a smaller dress size. And I get that. I respect that. But you need to love yourself, and we need to deal with that first.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I sympathize with her. I mean, feel for her. The thing is, she's not doing overly, like, she just needs to lose a little weight. She just needs to exercise a little and just kind of watch what she eats. She's not like this, like, totally.
But I feel like that's like telling, like, I don't know, like a skinny person or somebody that like already has a fit body that wants a boob job, for example. You're like, well, you already have a great body. Why would you want something more? But that would make that person happy. And for her, she just needs, like, that's one thing. Being thinner will make her happy. That's her. That's going to make her, like, tick. Like,
and
she needs
that's
that.
Fine. And right. And I commend her, and I hope that she loses weight. But she's so angry.
She's obsessed about it. Yeah. I mean,
like,
yeah.
Mother
really
Flower,
obsessed.
Eat a damn cookie or something, because you're
she
getting real
make
ugly.
Her happier.
You know?
She,
yeah.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm going to be so much happier.
Nasty.
You know. And what my fear is, because we're women. We've all been there. We've all wanted to lose a size or two or
of
three
course.
Or four, whatever. But my fear is she's going to lose the weight, but she's still going to, like, her mind. She's
exactly.
going to still. Her mind is going to be in a fat
exactly.
body.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sympathize with her because, you know, at whatever age it is, you always have body issues. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
But I agree. You know, she needs to learn how to love her body no matter what her size is, because at some point, you know, who knows what her metabolism is going to be like, or her eating cravings are going to be like when she gets pregnant one day. Or who knows, you know, how small she gets. Like, is she always going to see that big girl in the mirror? And I have
I
to say that, you know, I don't know if I like the way that, number one,
how
she's drawing so much attention to it. Because I think it gives more pressure onto her to have to lose the weight. And it also draws more attention to her flaws. Like, are you fishing for compliments? Because you're with a family that keeps it real. And they're not going to lie to you. They want you to be healthy. They want you to be happy.
Maybe
if you want to lose weight, you know, they're going to tell you, okay, lose weight. They're not going to say, oh, but you're so skinny.
Maybe she's doing
that
this
what
all
she wants
just
to,
to get, just to have proof for health insurance so she can get a lap band like for that.
But you know what? I mean, she's got a boyfriend. She's got a supportive, loving family.
Well, I don't know.
I think people don't realize how much the mental, you know, it is all mental. And when you try to lose weight just to pacify a problem that you had, which is what it sounds like she's doing, it's gonna bite her in the ass. Because yes, she could get down to a certain weight, but can she keep it off? If she's doing it this ugly to get to that goal size, it's always gonna be a problem for her. It is a lifelong thing. If you are naturally overweight, even for me, like, at my heaviest, 310 is as heavy as I was, and it was a lot of, like, depression or eating, you know, out of whatever, and trying to, you really got to get that checked out. It's not necessarily just, you know, she could lose the weight, because she'll gain it it back. She will, especially if she's that angry. It's just that's how I see it.
And Ronnie, but you have this lovable personality, and I just with Lauren, I don't have anything against her, but I don't think she has this lovable personality. I think
she's not happy.
Whether she loses 30 pounds or not, she's just not a happy person.
And that kind of shows what Ronnie's trying to say, that there's clearly like a deeper issue, right. You know? And like, Deanna, you've gone through a weight loss journey. I've gone through a weight loss journey before. I used to do pageants way back in the day. I was heavier than I am now, and I had to be 40 pounds less than what I am right now. And I can tell you that there was a moment where, you know, somewhere in between where I all of a sudden learned that it's not about what size I am or what the number is on the scale. Mm-hmm. There's a love that you need to reach for yourself. Mm-hmm. And who knows what it will take for her to reach that. Maybe also it'll be her business. Maybe it will be being by herself for a while. Maybe she has to take some time away from her family, but she'll find, you know, some sort of like a confidence, independence, hopefully. But she needs to understand that it's not going to be in the number on the scale.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up because, I lost 40 pounds last year. You just like you said, you've had your own battle with weight. But I think I was always confident, you know, at the weight I was before, and it never like got to me. I was like, you know, I never spent my life, oh my God, I have to be at this weight for me to be happy.
I can only eat a carrot today.
Yeah, I was always happy. I was always confident, you know.
I was going to say, Deanna, the best thing about it is this show, it's giving that conversation because it's allowing us all to talk about that. Even I feel a little bit bad. You were saying you had lost a great amount of weight, and I was clapping. I did the clap sound, and I'm thinking to myself, wait, is that almost condoning? Like she's more valued at a less weight? And I agree. I've known Deanna when she was at the other weight, and she's like beautiful and vibrant, and would walk. She'd walk into a room like weight didn't really change anything with Deanna. Like it's crazy to me.
Yeah,
thanks.
So I hope that she finds whatever that is that she's missing. I don't know if it's acceptance for her family.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of the Manzo brothers and of Greg, but come on now, they need to kind of chill out on her.
They need
a almond shake or whatever the weight thing. It's sensitive, and you know what? Like I said, you guys know a little bit about how my brother used to torture me. I mean, I literally thought until I think I was about 6 years old that my parents picked me up under a bridge because my brother would always say, like, yeah, mom and dad found you under a bridge because your real parents left you there. And I mean, but you know what? I mean, she's a grown ass woman now. She needs to be like, shut the F up, you guys. Come on. This is like.
She eggs it on, though.
She does egg it on.
So it's like, what's the fine line
here? Yeah, because she just needs to be like, you know what, you guys, come on now. I'm trying to lose weight. You guys aren't helping me. Like, you know, I mean, she just sits there and has a pity party by herself.
It's a very fine line, too, because, like, she does say those kind of things, like, you need to help me, but she does it in her, like, crabby, low-carb way.
Exactly.
Like, don't give me the vodka. Well,
crabby, low-carb
She needs to not, I mean, obviously, you know, if you follow her on Twitter and pay attention to her now, it seems like she has finally kind of figured out, like, where the happiness is and how she needs to lose weight and whatever, but, like, you can't think of the diet as deprivation, and you can't go out in public and expect for everyone to
vodka on the rocks is a very low caloric drink, so she could have just had one.
Or vodka and soda.
Vodka,
no
water,
sugar.
Vodka, soda, vodka diet.
Vodka and lime. Vodka come and on. Come on.
I'm kidding. All right, so I think it's time for news and gossip.
Wow.
Nice.
Were you in a church choir? All right.
Spare fingers.
Okay. Real Housewives of New Jersey, there is no lack of news and gossip. Mm-hmm. These ladies are all over the TV. They're all over the magazines. Here you guys, you see? Humiliated by her husband. I mean, it's everywhere. First up, I want to talk about Teresa. Teresa Giudice. Giudice. She was on Wendy Williams' show today. Do you guys watch Trey? Do you guys watch Wendy Williams?
Yep.
I'm a big fan of Wendy Williams. And she was on there basically kind of defending this past episode. So she was defending her marriage with Joe. Because Wendy, if you know Wendy Williams, she lays it on the table. She's got no shame. She will call you out. Mm-hmm. There's no peace, like nothing is off the table with her. So she was basically saying, you know, what the hell was going on, you know, with this conversation with Joe? And basically, Teresa, I feel like it was a very PC type of answer. She's like, oh, we never fight, knock on wood,
which is her head. Right, which is like Hollywood.
You know,
but I mean, that's her husband. She's not going to diss her husband. You know, in public, and that's what we're talking about. It's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing. You give that man. I mean,
I can appreciate that. I can.
But hold on a second. That's funny that you guys say that because she says that you put blood in front of your marriage, but yet she'll throw her brother under the bus.
Well, but look at her brother.
You know? Her brother and her, that's a whole different Oprah right there. That's a whole different thing.
But she wants him to put Teresa before Melissa. That's what she's saying by saying put blood.
Right.
But since he's not doing that, she's not going to do it either.
Mm. Well, here's something else that popped up on the show. She claims that, because Wendy asked her about this, she claims that she apologized to everyone about the jabs that she made in the book in person. Because remember from, I think maybe it was an episode ago, her apology only showed up in the magazine. Well, funny enough, Kathy Waikele and Melissa Gorga were also on Wendy Williams in a separate episode, and Wendy asked them about the apology, and Melissa said, you know what? I accept Teresa's apology, but I wish I didn't have to go to a ShopRite to get it. Meaning, she wished she didn't have to go to the grocery store and read the magazine. So, basically, it's like, who's telling the truth? Because Teresa claims that she said it in private.
And honestly, from what we saw in this past episode, we saw how Teresa sugarcoated it and just let it go. So, from that reason alone, because we can kind of assume Melissa's the bad guy a lot, but like, really, I think that she's more credible.
I do, too. I agree. Melissa when it comes to that.
Teresa held her little kitchen press conference. So maybe that's what she thought was the in-person apology.
Right.
Even if it wasn't a one-on-one apology.
I still think she's got a warped sense of what's right and what's wrong.
I mean, even on Celebrity Apprentice, I mean, what was his name?
Donald Trump.
No, not Donald. Not D. Trump.
Arsenio Hall.
Who was it called? Adam Carolla was like, I love Teresa, but she's naive. She's just naive. You know, that's just the nature of who she is.
I mean, because
she's not the brightest bulb in the tinning.
Because remember, using tampons means you're not a virgin anymore. Anyway.
Right.
Going on. So let's see what else happened on News and Gossip. So Wendy asked Teresa if she thought it was time for her to leave the Housewives. And her answer was very PC yet again. You know, she's trying to do different things. She's trying to promote her book. She's trying to become, you know, kind of like a brand, kind of like Bethany Frankel, you know, was.
I can't hate on her for that.
You can't. She was also there to promote her new Fabellini drink and her second cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, then no wonder she was so PC.
Exactly. She's very PC. And her 40th birthday is on Friday. So happy early birthday.
It was the past Friday.
Okay, yeah, so happy belated birthday, Teresa. What else?
The Gorgas are selling
Melissa and Joe Gorga, they're selling their house in New Jersey for $3.8 million, and they're staving off rumors that A, that their marriage is on the rocks and they're getting a divorce, and B, that they're moving because of financial issues. So Melissa, when she was on Wendy Williams, she said, you know, no, we want the family to be closer to Franklin Lake so the cousins can grow up together. But what do you guys think about the marriage rumors? Do you think their marriage is on the rocks?
It could be. Okay?
They were just on Bravo like 2 weeks ago, perfectly happy and, you know, all about the poison and the gorgasm.
About the poison.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we never know. We never know what happens behind closed doors.
Although, they were on their way tonight to OK Magazine's Hot Singles Party, but they were together.
Interesting.
Albie and Chris were on this big billboard, so I'm hoping that that was correct advertising that Albie was single. Token weekly shout out to Albie, hey.
Yeah, exactly.
call me.
And you know what else I thought was really interesting that I loved? Wendy brought up, she said, you know what, Teresa? She said, you know, like, you kind of have a strange relationship with your brother, and I actually like that she brought that up. She said, because you know what, once your brother got married and had a family, his wife is first, not you. So she was really putting to question their relationship,
right? Like,
as far as incestuous, but
also Wendy also credited Teresa for being very honest.
Yeah, she did, and being authentic.
Yeah, and being authentic and not being so defensive. So it goes both ways, you know?
What was Teresa's response to that?
She kind of talked around it, right?
Yeah.
Teresa likes to be that number one. And in Joe Gorga's eyes before that, Teresa was number one. And in Joe Giudice's eyes, Teresa's definitely... He, like, excludes everybody else from the equation. Like, parents, everybody. So Teresa is that center.
I think we talked about this last week when you were in here about her being number one. It was just the fact that how I think Gorga handled it. I think he just kind of abandoned Teresa and went for another number one, which is fine. I understand when brothers and sister, they grow up, they go their separate ways. But I think it's just how he did it. He's so codependent. I think he was codependent on Teresa.
Yeah.
And then when he met his wife, he completely abandoned his sister. And now he's so codependent on his wife that it's just so black and white. Yeah. There is no gray balance there. And I mean, Gorga has a very hard time dealing with his emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He suppresses it. I mean, that's why he works out like a little
machine, I liked hearing a little bit more about their upbringing today, about how they were really competitive and athletic when they were younger. And then Teresa talking about like the tampons and the birds and the bees, because like that's how it was when I was younger too. Like my parents, when I started to ask about the birds and the bees, it was literally like, okay, here's a
pamphlet and When a Man Loves a Woman and okay, read this and we'll be right back.
I got that stuff from school. I didn't get it from my parents.
So did I. I just loved how innocent and naive and just like, you know, reserved and like embarrassed she was about it. It showed a different side of her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So this is, you know, it really shows a lot of her upbringing and how why she is who she is. And she is naive.
Yeah, she really is.
She lost her virginity to her husband. You know, when she got married at 20.
I don't know if I believe that.
I was going to say, are we sure about that?
I don't know if I believe that.
But that's what she said?
That's what she's claiming. I don't know if I believe that. Yeah. But, I mean, that brings us to the last, you know, juicy bit of gossip. It's the Us Weekly this week. And she's on the cover and it says that she's humiliated by her husband. And I think it's true. Like, this past episode, he humiliated her, you know? And there's a lot of allegations about him cheating. And then, okay, what if he goes off to prison? What's going to happen? Well, since she's a breadwinner, clearly she will be fine.
Yeah,
but
now.
I don't like him. Like, as the season continues and goes on,
In real life, I would cringe and I would feel, because, like, there's kids involved and I get him, like, that dude on TV. Like, I laugh every time he says, like, shut up. Like, I'm like, this is not.
Shut up.
Like,
I know.
He's so entertaining, but it's him. Horrible.
What? You wouldn't marry him.
Who did I say I was going to marry? I think. No, it wasn't.
I think you were.
Yeah. I think I was going to marry him because he was entertaining.
No, but he wasn't in the same category.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is, like, from on TV, from what we can watch, I'm like, this dude is hilarious. But it's not funny because it's so harmful to, like, we see the consequences.
Well, you know, I think.
I don't hate him, though. Like, I don't hate him from TV.
Yeah, we don't hate him. Right. But I think he was kind of lovable until the season. And I think there's a lot going on in their family. I mean, they're dealing with a lot.
But you would think that, like, with all the attention that she's getting, with all of her success in her businesses, that he'd be a little bit, you know, he could almost use the show as, like, his own little Team Joe PR campaign. Like, I know that, like, they like to be authentic and stuff.
Oh, okay. If you want us to finish up, then you could have just said
We're wrapping it up. Well, and finally, that leads me to, did you guys watch What Happens Now, the after show for Bravo? So,
Rosie.
I know you love Rosie.
Who the F is that B that was all up on her in the jacuzzi?
Oh, well, you know what?
Let's tweet her. Let's ask her.
Perfect timing for, let's talk about predictions for next week. Are we ready for predictions?
Yes.
I think that I might start to not like Kathy this next episode.
Why?
I love her. I loved what Chris said about how she's like a porcelain doll, rainbows and child's laughter.
Yeah. Yes.
But here's the thing is that all of them are very, very conservative. And so I'm just curious to know how they're going to take it when Rosie starts talking about her homosexuality, because we've heard little rumors here and there that that is a big target of tension. What are you guys laughing about over there?
Nothing.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
But yeah.
Anyways,
On Watch What Happens Live. Well, really quickly on Watch What Happens Live, they were Andy Cohen brought it up about the next episode about Rosie coming out and telling her nieces and nephew about it, and she's like, she said Kathy was really supportive and they gave each other a hug.
I've got some inside juice on that.
I know. So I don't know.
I know. I'm anxious to see. We'll see.
I got some inside juice on the whole, you know, Rosie gay coming out thing in her family. And we're going to save that for next week.
So you better tune in.
But for now, let's talk about where we can find everybody and what's going on. Susan?
You can find me at It's Susan Hun. Oh. You guys could tweet me about anything from beauty, marriage, 40s, Louboutins,
as in
anything.
Like
40 ounces, yes.
I say my Twitter handle every time, and I barely ever use my Twitter, so let's make that happen and get more followers.
Yes.
_Vero. You want to spell it?
Whatever.
Anyway. You can find me on Twitter at Giselle Ugardi, and right now I'm in mid-season on a Google partner network called You Look Hot Beauty Blogger Bootcamp, and tomorrow I have a really cool styling episode. So youtube.com/U Look HAUTE.
Listen to that. She's fancy, huh? Nice.
And the only reason I said 40 is because I'm the girl who rocks Louboutins and enjoys 40 ounces
out of a paper bag.
Yes. Word.
Baller. Just to clear that
up. And then you guys can find me, Deanna Vaughn. You can follow me on Twitter @GoToGirl2TV. And you can check me out on my website, www.gotogirltv.com. And thanks for tuning in, you guys. We can't wait to have another episode next week and dish more about the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Happy Memorial Weekend. Yay.
Thanks for tuning in. Is it Memorial Weekend next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend.
Damn.
Find us on iTunes and YouTube and share and
like and comment.
Where are the calls?
Follow AfterBuzzTV on Twitter.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Dildos or something like completely.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.